Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area. And we now have over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries. And I just want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful support. Today, starting now until about 15 or 20 minutes or so, I'll be discussing the new 5G cell tower system, followed by an interview with my friend QAnon. Then from 3 to 3:30 p.m., I'll discussing my upcoming presentations in London at Watkins Books in central London with Michiko Hayashi. I'll be giving a presentation in London at Watkins Books on June 13th, and Michiko will be giving a presentation in London also on June 20th. Watkins is one of Europe's most famous bookstores, and if you are in England, I hope you can come. Both presentations are free. Then from 3:30 to 4, I'll be discussing my upcoming trips to Mount Shasta with Jason Armstrong from beautiful Vancouver, Canada, who will be channeling Adama, the High Priest of Telos, and who will also be coming with me on my spiritual trips to Mount Shasta next month and in July. Before we start, I'd like to thank everyone so much for their support for this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I really appreciate your help and support, because I know together we can create a much better and happier world. I'd also like to thank Corey and Saul in Kirkland for their wonderful support, and especially thank them for their recent generous contribution for a new library for the Hopi Indians in Arizona. I'd also like to thank my wonderful friends Mary Ann Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Jim in London, England, Jan Eric and Emma Louise in Norway, and everyone around the world who's helped me raise consciousness and make this world a better place. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show. Any advertising on the show will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services in over 90 countries and have over 250,000 listeners. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website and providing wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, and my angelic and earthly family, and of course, Eric and KKNW. Without help and support, this program would not be possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides, and if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on or contact your angelic guides and get some good spiritual advice, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. You can also call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793 or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. I want to thank Corey and Saul in Kirkland again for support for the new library for the Hopi Indians. And I've also received many pledges of free spiritual books from various people. And if you'd like to donate spiritual books and or monies toward this worthy goal, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I have some wonderful spiritual events I wanted to tell everyone about this summer. I'll be going on a spiritual trip to Mount Shasta. I've been going there every year since 2016. Mount Shasta is one of the world's most spiritual places. The cost is only $200 per person. And I'll be going twice, from July 2nd to July 8th, and again from September 5th to September 11th. Mount Shasta is a very special, magical place where miracle healings do occur from the Telosians and the beautiful people of Telos in the Hollow Earth. We always see many Sasquatch and UFOs flying in and around Mount Shasta. And the last time we were there in September of last year, we were able to telepathically contact a UFO. And Adama, the High Priest of Telos, healed the vision in both of my eyes, restoring them to perfect 20/10 crystal clear eyesight. The cost is only $200 per person, includes free camping. And if you'd like to go, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call or text me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. Next month on June 13th, I'll be giving a free presentation on my book, Messages from the Masters, with messages from Professor Albert Einstein, President John F. Kennedy, Nostradamus, and other great spirits at the famous Watkins Spiritual Bookstore in Leicester Square in downtown London. My presentation starts at 6:30, and I'll have copies of my new book available, and afterwards I'll be doing readings. If you'd like a reading when I'm in England, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Also on June 20th at Watkins Bookstore, Michiko Hayashi, the Moto Peace Project, will be giving a free presentation on Messages from Water and the work of the famous late Dr. Masaru Moto. Her presentation will be from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at Watkins Books, and I hope you'll be able to come. And with that, I'd like to welcome my good friend. Before I do, QAnon is waiting on the line. I wanted to talk a little bit about the new 5G system that is being installed now throughout the United States. The system itself has so many environmental problems with it. I know that in the city of Belgium, in the city of Brussels in Belgium, that 5G has actually been outlawed because of numerous bird deaths. People have been suffering also as well from dizziness, cancer, mental illness. The problem with the 5G cell system is that it creates an unnatural electromagnetic environment for people. Their bodies can't handle it, and often the body will rebel by getting cancer. And that's what's happening in Europe. Many cities now in Europe are banning it. Unfortunately, here in Washington State, people are not as aware of the dangers, but that's why I wanted to mention it today. 2 weeks ago, our governor in Washington State, Governor Jay Inslee, just approved a state grant of $21 million from tax monies to help build 5G throughout the entire state. No vote was taken on it. There was nothing mentioned, of course, in the press about it, but I think it's a dangerous trend, and I do want to talk to Q about this as well in a few minutes. But there are ways to stop it, and I know people have been organizing to stop the 5G system. Recently in Olympia, Washington, hundreds of people submitted comments against the proposed cell tower in the Olympia area for 5G. And there was something like 494 pages of public comments against the cell towers. But the planning department there threw away all of their comments, got rid of it so that it wasn't in the record. And they've done many things to try to stop, silence public outcry about the 5G system. It's not been proven that it's safe. And anyway, I wanted everyone to be aware of that. And to speak out against it when you can. With that, I'd like to welcome my good friend Q to the show and ask him about the 5G system. Q, are you there?
Hello, Ted. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you just fine, Q. How are you doing?
Outstanding. Thank you for having me on your show, and unconditional love to you and your bravery for doing this show and doing what you feel is right. It is so awesome to listen to you, and you're just amazing what you're doing, and I really appreciate you, and I appreciate all the people that are listening to you. Thank you.
Oh, well, Q, thank you. That was unexpected, but I appreciate that so much. The purpose of my life is to make this planet a better place, and it actually started in Atlantis. Well, but before that, but the last significant event was 12,500 years ago during the Atlantean times, when myself and many other lightworkers, Q, tried to stop the Atlantean government back then from destroying the planet with nuclear and crystalline weapons. And we failed back then. Much of the planet was destroyed, leading the Earth into a dark ages. And it's taken like all this time, about 12,500 years, to get to this point in human evolution again. And I've been told many of the actors and many of the spirits who were present back in the Atlantean time 12,500 years ago are back now, but it's a different now in that many of them have learned their lessons, and they don't want to, of course, destroy the planet like they did 12,500 years ago. And I know that many people are making the right choices to make this planet a better place, and that's why people are listening today.
Yeah. Well, it is, I believe, the question that you bring up is the 5G technology and how it's being integrated into our lives. And
right.
It's unfortunate, but I think we're all waking up to the fact that the cell phones that we're using and the technology of cellular transmission is actually a very, very, very old technology. And unfortunately, there are some people that know how to implement it. And they've had a master plan to do this for a very long time. And now, you know, we're now at the point where we have to make some decisions. And we all like being able to communicate with each other, and it sure is awesome. A lot of things come out of this that are great and beneficial to our collective collaboration. But you know, we all need to start making some choices for the longevity of our health, for sure. One idea might be to quit using them. That's pretty tough. That's pretty tough information, right? We can all just stop. That'd make it go away. Or get rid of everything that transmits that frequency. Those are tough choices for all of us. And we're all going to have to come to the realization of what we want and what we prefer.
I want to explain a little bit about terminology, about the 5G system. From what I understand, Q, and you probably know a lot more about this, there's 2G, 3G, 4G, 5G. Each G means generation. So this is the fifth generation of cell tower transmissions and technologies. Is that correct? Do you know?
Okay, so that is correct. But when you want to speak more technically, you would speak to the hertz in which the frequency is being transmitted. And that's really the evolution that's changed over the years.
Okay. All right. Well, all of our bodies have evolved in a certain amount of hertz. And a wonderful psychic told me recently, who was in touch with angels, she said that the vibrations of this planet are really rapidly rising. By July, 2 months from now, it'll be 500 times more than it is now. And then by December of this year, 2019, it'll be 5,000 times more. By July of next year, 2020, it'll be 50,000 times more. And then by December of 2020, under the current projections, she said from her angelic guides that the frequencies, the hertz levels of planet Earth will be 50,000 times more than they are now, and we will be in the fifth dimension. Now, this is quite an interesting news, she told me recently, but I wanted to share that with both you and my audience, because she said that once these vibrations keep rising to the point, the 5G system will not be able to operate because it's tied into the old third dimensional frequencies, and it will not operate in the higher frequencies.
Yeah, so I'm in agreement with that statement, and it combines with, I believe, what you've talked about in the past about the belief system collectively for all of us. As we make choices, we literally can choose whether this exists within our reality or not.
Right. Right. So if we choose not to have this 5G system in our reality, we have the capability, you're saying, we're very powerful spiritual beings, not to have it functioning, not to have it working?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And you know, you can do things in your daily life to prove that statement too, and in micro steps. It's when we have doubts and we have fears and we collectively believe in all of these things, they exist. And so right now we believe in this, and so we like it apparently. So this is what we've chosen to believe in. You can do it in your own simple life. You can see things materializing very quickly now, because to your point, we are evolving very quickly.
Well, I know that in the fifth dimension, Q, that thoughts are things. So if people think something, that it does become. It does become real here in the third dimension quite rapidly, especially as the vibrations and the hertz levels keep rising.
Yeah, you know, a really good example is this last several years, we believe that there are UFOs in our reality. We believe there are people who can live on another planet and another solar system. And now we see mainstream media adopting that. Mm-hmm. And that's the short version, but it's quite clear that the belief has created the avenue for the reality to appear. And the more we integrate with that in a grounding manner, I believe is our true purpose here, and that is to control the energies in a way that's balanced and understood and with the backbone of unconditional love.
Absolutely. I think I asked you this during our last conversation on the air several weeks ago, Q, but I have to ask you this because I have had some questions on that. Are you in contact with benevolent extraterrestrial entities? And if so, who? If you'd like to share that.
So you can assume that I'll give you some information. And the information I'll give you is that there is a great presence on this planet and off this planet that mm-hmm. really cares about our next steps. And there are many people who have come here to assist in the evolution of this version of human. And just know that it is a vast, vast group. And they are always 100% successful in the awakening and arising of a beautiful being known as human.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. That's good news. That's good news. I know from my contacts with the Pleiadians, after the directed energy weapons used at both Paradise and Malibu, California, back last November, December, that the Pleiadians came as a part of a larger force with the Galactic Alliance, and they've been here since, and they've told me telepathically that they're going to stay here until we shift into the higher dimensions finally. They said also that they have over 2 million spacecraft here orbiting the planet. Have you had any contact with them?
Right. So there's a tremendous amount of Pleiadian help here. And the Pleiadians have a very unique relationship with this planet and this version of humans. But mm-hmm. just know that it's far vaster than any one race. And I know the Pleiadian race is very popular to talk about. And you know, when you listen to maybe someone like Simon Parks or some of the other people dissecting the Emerald Tablets and so forth, you can see that We've had a tremendous amount of different races on this planet, and unfortunately, we're just getting used to being a little more evolved, to your point, each day as the planet and our DNA starts waking up and or growing.
Wonderful.
I'll definitely. You know, there's definitely a very large Arcturian presence here, a very loving being. Definitely the legacy Lyrian and Lemuria groups are here. There is such a strong presence from the Lyrian group because, you know, they've gone through hell in multiple generations. And you can follow some of James Gillian's work, and he has a good base point for those folks.
Interesting. I get this question too, and I just had one come in. What's happening with the evil humans and evil let's say negative entities like negative extraterrestrials? Are they being quarantined now to keep can they leave the planet? Are they being quarantined so they can't escape? And for those outside of the planet, are they being allowed in now? What's happening with them from what you know, Q?
Give me an example of that's a statement of vast judgment, as you can imagine.
Okay.
What is negative? What is negative as an example in your opinion?
I would say service to self versus service to others.
Yeah, so I think the simplest way to explain that is it's getting very tough for what you're calling negative people to make what we might call negative choices. So let's just say your core, when we'll assume Ted is an outstanding individual, it's tough for Ted to jaywalk. He feels guilty about that, right? Well, that's the same way with what we're calling negative. It's getting to the point where it's not possible to do these poor choices. And that's also being reflective on what we've chosen to do as it pertains to cleaning up the planet.
I see. Okay. I've heard that there's actually a lower density, third dimensional Earth-like planet on the other side of this solar system. It's a place where negative entities from this planet, humans and ETs, will go. Because Mother Earth Gaia is now ascending into the fifth dimension, and she wants as many of humanity as possible to come with her in this higher dimensional shift to the fifth dimension. But for those entities who choose that they want to stay in the third dimension and their service to self rather than their service to others, they will go to this other planet on the other side of the solar system.
Yeah, so I'm in agreement with what you're saying, and again, it comes back to the choice. So it's very difficult to live at a high frequency planet if you're making low frequency decisions, and you're going to be somewhere else.
Right. Let me ask you this: has it been difficult for you to be here and do your work?
I would say so.
Understatement.
I mean, we've had some good conversations, Ted, and I know you know what. And I'm, you know, someday I would like, you know, to get more of that information out. I don't, you know, when we do these shows, I hope we find commonality on how we do make this world a better place. But it's, you're very aware of the trials that I've gone through, whether it be the MyLab experiences or the secret space programs or the conditioning that's been done to me has allowed me, we will say, interesting experiences, and that's why the Q posts are so successful, is because of the experiences I've had through whether it be torture or manipulation of my mind, and consequently the experiences I've had in the industrial workplace has been perfect for the Q posts. And so, yeah, I don't know where you want to go with this, but it has been a blessing in disguise, and I'm glad I'm able to help.
Do you think there's a time of truth coming where the truth about a lot of things happening on this planet will come we're talking about full disclosure about everything, extraterrestrial present, technology, all the things that the cabal, if you want to call them that, have been doing to humanity for so many centuries. Do you think there'll be a time when all of that's exposed? And should we have what will happen to the negative entities? What do you think should happen to them?
Well, the last question is very, very difficult for me because of my own experiences. But I'll start with the beginning of your question. That we are all going to see the truth in everything. This is a very, very big year, and a lot of it has to do with the expansion of our DNA. You know, all the codes that are embedded in our genetics are starting to wake up, and everybody's going a little bit different speed than others. You know, but it's very diverse. Yet, we're all going to get there eventually. There's no choice whether this version of human needs another 100 years or not. We're going to get all our tools back because we are human. I'll skip the second one, but the third one: how do you imprison million and million and billions of people who've done wrong? And I think that's our big lesson here: is we have to forgive. We have to forgive instantly. And if we don't, we're perpetuating the past. And if we don't learn forgiveness, then we will never learn unconditional love, in my opinion.
Right. You know, in the early 90s, after apartheid was dismantled in South Africa, The South African government did something very interesting there, Q. They had truth and reconciliation commissions where they encouraged people and government officials of the old apartheid regime who did awful things to the people there in South Africa to come through and just testify about what they had done and ask for and nothing happened to them except they just had to ask for forgiveness. And I think it was very successful in healing a lot of wounds there in South Africa. When you talk to the Dalai Lama and you ask him about what the Chinese government has done to the horrible things that the Chinese government's done to the Tibetan people in Tibet, for decades now, since the 50s when China took over Tibet, he always talks about compassion. He never talks about, you know, putting the Chinese government in jail or anything, but he does talk about sending love and compassion to them. And I followed the Dalai Lama for many years now, and I've always struck that as a very humane and very the right way to look at negative entities, negative governments. Do you think that would be also a way to look at negative entities here in the United States and elsewhere on the planet with compassion and love?
Yes, I think it's a learning experience for both parties. You know, how can we forgive people for the pedophilia that's happened on this planet? How can we forgive people who've taken people off this planet and sold them to other planets? Right. So how do we forgive those people? You know, that's a challenge for me. I'm a witness to it. And so we would want to, in my opinion, look at the judgment inside each one of us and what is right or wrong. And then what's the level of wrong? What's the level of right? And you know, I think you'll come back to the conclusion that there is no right or wrong. There's always going to be an experience. And the only way that we raise consciousness collectively is the unconditional love that we have for each other and learning why would someone do those things and why do I want to do something else. And so in my opinion, that the goal would always be unconditional love. And I think the rest goes by the wayside if we're successful.
Well, let me ask you another question, Q, and there's so many questions coming in now. I know you have a physical body, I'm sure. I assume you do. But how old is your spirit, if there is such an answer to it, if that's the right question?
There is no age to it. There's no way to measure. There's no way to measure the time.
Okay.
Can you tell me what time is, Ted?
You mean here on the Pacific Coast?
What time is it? I mean, if we go to another star system, I don't measure how many times I go around this sun.
Right.
Right?
So, right. Right.
If you can tell me what time it is, I'll tell you how old I am.
Okay, it's 2:30 p.m. in Seattle here.
Okay. It's a beautiful question. I love the question, but, you know, we are eternal. We keep doing this over and over again for all our own purposes. It's an incredible experience.
Many, many years ago, I've been in touch with the Pleiadians since 1976. And many years ago, the Pleiadians told me, they said, if you wanted to look younger and maintain and look youthful, as they said, forget about, you know, beauty products and skin creams and plastic surgery. They said the best way is to spiritually advance, because as you spiritually advance in this dimension, you actually, they said that you reverse the aging clock, so you look younger and younger. And I've actually met people like that in their 60s who look like they're in their 30s, but they're very advanced spiritually. And as you advance, they say, as you advance spiritually, your body starts to reverse, the aging clock starts to reverse.
Yes, that is a true statement, and there are many people we are seeing in our reality. So you can regress a body. That technology is on this planet, but if you can do it spiritually too, if you actually feel you want to be younger, even though we live in a very dense planet, you can make yourself younger, and you do have those capabilities. There are some interesting people I've run into. There is a Pleiadian man I've met who had redundant hearts, and his hearts would go to sleep. And coincidentally, he went to a hospital, and they tried to revive him because they thought he was dead. But he could make his internal body go to sleep. Now, this man looked roughly the average age of 45, 50, but he was about 90 years old. And just know that there are many people on this planet who live for a very, very long time, and they may be some of the people controlling our social processes.
Interesting. My friends in the Galactic Alliance tell me that the average age of humans outside of planet Earth is about 1,000 years. And some live as much as 25,000 years and sometimes more, where they can go in and out of their body if they like. I know Ambassador Twillian, who I've known for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. He's with the Seyres, part of the Galactic Alliance, and I've got a picture of him. And he looks, my goodness, he looks like maybe he's in his early, mid to early 20s. And he's about 10,000 years old. But he's very advanced spiritually in the high dimension. But his body, his face looks extremely youthful. I mean, you'd think he would be in his early Earth years, about in early 20s.
Yeah, there's you can cross-check, some of this conversation with. There is an old artist out of Belgium, I think it was, and he would do paintings of a man called Old Parr.
And okay.
Old Parr was someone who is assumed to be now Palladian, but when you look at pictures of him, they were painted of him in the 1500s, mid to 1500s. His face looks very youthful, even though he had a full beard. But they had him aged at 150 years, and he had children at the age of 80. So,
oh my goodness!
If you want to research just some real data. Old Parr is a real individual, and he was documented to live 150 years old. He died because the king of Belgium partied him out, and he couldn't make it through the night, was the story. But it's my understanding that they got rid of him because they don't need people preaching about the fact that you can live 1,000 years.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, wow. Let me ask you this. What about royalty on this planet? I've been told that royalty on this planet is actually hybrid reptilians who interbreeded with humans maybe 12 to 15,000 years ago to create this royal lineage, so-called royal lineage of blue blood. But on other human planets outside of Earth, Hugh, there's no such thing as a royal lineage. Could you tell us a little bit about that, if you don't mind?
So I'm somewhat in agreement with those statements. The timeline, I think, is much older. But certainly the model that we assume with royalty has been adopted from the reptilian and draconian lifestyle. And those were implemented to make a hierarchy. And maybe we would call it a honeycomb, but when we look at business, you'll find that there is the same hierarchy. Let's go to a large corporation like Boeing or Pepsi, Beetle, any large corporation, you'll see there is a pyramid. And that's also where our modern business comes from, is this reptilian model for this hierarchy. And yes, it is on other planets, but not at higher dimensional realities, would be my opinion.
Oh, here's something I'd like to ask you, Q. I heard many years ago that Henry Ford, back at the turn of the last century, was actually helped by the Greys and Reptilians in his manufacturing processes. Do you know much about his involvement with the Reptilians or the darker entities?
I'm not aware of the Greys, but I do know that they were resources for each party. I am aware that reptilians did help create the Industrial Revolution with Ford, directly and indirectly. So Mr. Ford may have had a conversation like this one day. Would you like the bag of money, or would you like the gun? So it may not have been like that, but the reptilian influence on this planet was quite incredible in the Industrial Revolution. And mm-hmm. when you have an individual that can mind control other individuals, and I'm speaking from experience, mm-hmm. when your entire mind is taken over by another individual and you cannot do anything mm-hmm. except wish you were dead, that probably happened to Mr. Ford.
I see. Isn't that interesting? There's also been
another corporation like that would be Fisher Valve. It's an Emerson company. That definitely was one of the Industrial Revolution jump springboards, if you will, would be the modern control valve for the steam loop and industrial process on automation.
Let's jump to World War II. And the Galactics tell me that Adolf Hitler was actually helped by the reptilians with both creating an atomic bomb on their own and space travel. That's where they got all their advanced technology from. What do your sources say about that?
Okay, so I would change your words to Adolf Hitler was controlled by the reptilians. And
right.
Yes, you're right about that. And
right.
If we want to go to the United States side, you'll look at the bombing of the Arizona. Please tell me how somebody can pinpoint a bomb down the shaft, exhaust shaft of the Arizona at several thousand feet. And you'll see some of the technology that was already on the planet.
Oh, interesting, because the Japanese, of course, were allies of the Nazis in World War II. And do you think that the Nazis shared their technology, reptilian technology, with the Japanese during that time?
So we will assume that someone from Japan actually bombed the Arizona. Maybe we could assume that someone else bombed the Arizona, and maybe we will assume that Japan got the label for doing it.
That's interesting, because that's what Zora and Billy of the Hollow Earth have told me. They said that Pearl Harbor was not bombed by the Japanese. It was actually bombed by B-25s painted with Japanese insignia and flags in an attempt to start World War III, to bring the United States in to a World War II situation. That's what he told me. He said that Pearl Harbor was not actually bombed by the Japanese. It was bombed by American planes painted with a Japanese flag over Pearl Harbor.
Well, coincidences are very common now, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the individuals you're talking about, but it will be common information one day. But you know, the reality of a lot of these wars starting may be indirect titles, if you will.
Interesting. I have to ask you, Q, how long have you been on this planet?
So this is my seventh life on this planet.
Okay.
And in this current body, it's assumed I've been around about 50 years.
Okay. All right. Okay. And
what I want to add to that, Ted, is
sure.
What's going to happen here is we're all going to remember our other lives, whether we mm-hmm. like it or not. That's part of I'm not a real big fan of the term ascension, but it is comfortable for the modern English communication tool as a one word, but this is part of the ascension or evolution, in my opinion, of this version of humans, is that we are going to get our memories back.
Okay.
And as we get our memories back, mm-hmm. this is going to be common knowledge for us to say, hey, I know mm-hmm. I'm going to learn the lessons I was taught 10 lives ago, so I don't make these mistakes anymore. And, you know, a good person, to listen to about this is I think Simon Parks has it right on when he realizes in some of his statements is that if we all could remember what we learned last life and or if we lived 1,000 years, I don't think we're in the position we're in now.
Absolutely, Q. What is the purpose of having amnesia when you're born, so you don't remember your past lives? Is there any good purpose to that?
I actually do think there is a beautiful purpose to it. It's all perfect. Whether we like it or not, we get to learn all over again. We get to do this all over again, right from the corkscrew. It's really fun in that respect. And gosh darn it, would you have it any other way, Ted?
Well, listen, it took me about 50 years or so to realize the purpose of my life and why I was here and what I should be doing. So it did take quite a few years, and it would have been nice that, you know, when I popped out 64 years ago to say, oh, now I know why I'm here and I can get right to work rather than stumbling around for 50 odd years before discovering your life purpose.
Yeah, it would have been nice to have a book, but I guess we're going to write the book. So I do appreciate, I'm thankful for every minute here, and I am really optimistic, and it is so fun to know you and other people are getting there just like I am. It's just outstanding that we get to do this, and we are absolute heroes in the galaxy. We are unbelievable heroes, and I hope everybody knows that to their core.
Well, and also I've been told that this is the most exciting show in the universe right now is Planet Earth, everything that we're doing now.
Yes, I think I heard a statement from a peer. Do you guys have TV where you're at? No? No, we just watch you guys.
That's funny.
I think it's great.
My galactic friends told me about 4 or 5 years ago, Q, that we at one time, all of us on this planet, had been up at the 11th dimension. Now, 12th dimension is where the supreme being or the creator who created all of this resides. But we at one time, Q, were all the way up to the 11th dimension. And then somebody got the bright idea of saying, hey, let's go down to the 3rd dimension, to a developing planet like Earth, and then evolve up to the higher dimensions again, like a graduate school of spiritual instruction. And that was one of the reasons why I remember now why they told me that we all have amnesia on this planet when we're born. We don't remember anything because we're trying to relearn things on the graduate level, on the PhD level, to be even more powerful and be even better spiritual beings closer to God. That's what they said. So,
yeah, so... I would agree with what you said, but maybe change the words a little bit in that if we are going to expand, first of all, having everything perfectly handed to you, I think we talked about this in the last show, heaven's kind of boring if you think about it. If everything,
really?
It just goes perfectly. It's just perfect, right?
And
I'm being facetious, of course. And we don't really have a heaven, of course. We have a higher dimensional reality. But if you're going to grow your universe, well, you need to start at the bottom. Mm-hmm. And whether we like it or not, we're at the bottom in this dimension, and that's how you expand universes, is my understanding, is you work from the bottom up. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense, sure.
And I'm not doing it justice because we're speaking in a linear fashion,
right?
But it is all expansive, and we're at a very lower density, for lack of a better words, in this language system. But the reality is that we're not aware of how to do this yet, and that's part of the learning process. And that's the fun part, I guess. Guess being the key word.
Well, I guess that leads me to my next question, which I often ask to ask you, is how can we make this planet a better place?
I love that question, Ted. I am so glad you make it.
Thanks.
It so at the end of the show, okay, I've got one. Every time I'm glad that you asked this. My favorite topic recently is watching the, in the United States, we have a lottery system. And Ted, have you ever played the lottery?
I think I've bought tickets maybe 3 or 4 times, if
all
that.
Right. Do you know anybody that's won the lottery?
I have met a few people I have, 2 or 3. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, and what was their winning? What do you think it is?
One $250,000, $200,000. And she split it among several of her friends.
Okay.
Another one won maybe $60,000, $65,000, and I can't remember. The other one was maybe $1,000. I'm not sure. But
have you ever met anybody that won like $50-60 million?
No, I haven't. No.
Mm-hmm. I ask people who are listening to your show, does anybody know somebody that's won 56? Okay, I'll let everyone do their research. But I was thinking a way to make the world a better place is we would start the QAnon lottery system. Okay.
Mm. Okay.
And
that sounds good.
Maybe it'd be better to be the Ted Marr out of this world lottery system. Either way, uh-huh. They're both fun names.
Uh huh.
And it would go like this.
Mm-hmm.
We have 320 million people in America.
Right.
And all 320 million people are going to give Ted Marr $1 today.
Okay. Thank you.
And so Ted's now going to have $320 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then tomorrow, Ted's going to give 116,800 people $1 million.
Okay. Wow.
Right? We're going to give $1 million to everyone who gave $1.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound like a lot of people. So we're going to have 116,000 millionaires in a year, okay?
Uh-huh.
If everyone gives Ted Marr $1 every day for a year.
Wow.
All right? Not a big deal. Okay, so what if everyone gives Ted Marr $2?
Hmm.
Now we're going to have 233,600 millionaires in a year in America.
Right.
Still not a lot. But just think, year over year, if we had 233,000 people given $1 million every year just because they give Ted Marr $2. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, not real sexy. I know that's not exciting. But what if 320 million people gave Ted $100?
Mm.
We'd have 876,000 millionaires this year.
Wow. Yeah.
So the lottery is a fun little game that we have going on that we give to a third party and somehow they make revenue off it. But really, we could end one way to end this financial system is we could network, all put the money in a pot and start networking it, giving it away to each other and not be concerned whether you're going to get $1 million or the other guy. Just know that your turn's coming.
Right.
By the way, it's worthless and it's just a resource that we believe in. And it's a belief system. And I think one of the greatest guys that has it dialed in, is, if you listen to David Icke, I've got a lot of time for the way he explains it. This is a belief system. We don't need money, Ted.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really can't wait for the day where we just work with each other in our communities and take care of each other. I hope that helps.
Yeah, that helps quite a bit. And I guess my second question is that the galactics tell me, Q, that outside of this solar system, money is not used by any advanced human civilizations outside of Earth. And money itself is a reptilian concept designed to teach us scarcity and a kind of a survival, keep us in a survival mold when there's plenty of abundance. From what you know, Q, are we headed toward a time where money will not be used like it is today?
Yeah, so you're already seeing the beginning of it, and unfortunately, we're going to learn a couple stepping stones, in my opinion. I'm not a big fan of the electronic currency beliefs that are coming out, but it looks like we're going to learn that way. We like the electronic currency system, it would appear. Mm-hmm. And we will assume that eventually everyone on the planet is going to learn that they do not own anything on the planet. They are just sharing the resources. You cannot own anything. You are only sharing.
Interesting. Interesting. Does that work into Native American ideas of that there's no such thing as private property? They thought it was ridiculous when the European settlers first came to America and they wanted to buy their land or just take it. And they looked at land like as property.
Yes, you know this, Ted. I realize it's a loaded question. I mean, it's so obvious that we were far more advanced hundreds of years prior. We had a lot more respect, appreciation. We had more integrity for where we came from. Mm-hmm. And we have no choice but to go back there. That many, many, many planets live this way. They do not touch their ecosystems. They mm-hmm. experience their ecosystems, but they do not use wood to build houses, as an example.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Interesting. What do they use instead of wood?
Well, the higher technology civilizations, they use anti-gravitic homes. They mm-hmm. can put a satellite around their planet. They can also use masonry homes are very very prominent, and that's why you see all our legacy homes are masonry. Look at the pyramids, look at the mud huts in Africa and so forth, and so those are very grounding buildings too, and all of which is intended to be temporary. Everything has to be temporary. The earth is a living mm-hmm. being. And mm-hmm. so it's going to decide whether your structure is going to live or not.
You know, I don't, you probably know this, Q, but the amount of plastic I'm told on the earth's oceans is tremendous. And a lot of like whales are eating it. It ends up in their internal systems and they end up dying as a result of it. As our vibrations rise, will we finally learn as a whole humanity on this planet to learn to take care of Mother Earth better than we do now?
Yeah, so that's a really big topic, Ted, and one dear to my heart is the plastic makes no sense to me. I'm so concerned about it. It's just everywhere. Look at how we do retail commerce. You get a plastic bag whether you like it or not. You buy your products in a piece of plastic. It's got mm-hmm. to end, and yes, I am in agreement. We are going to get there. And I think, unfortunately, the human race is one of those races that only understands pain. And I think mm-hmm. we're one of those groups that we need to be hit in the face or we're not going to learn. But we're going to get there.
We've got about 3 minutes left, 2.5 minutes left, Q, and I want to thank you so much for coming on today. And I also wanted to tell you our time left in case you'd like to focus in on a particular topic.
Well, Ted, I mean, we've had some good conversations, and, you know, I encourage everyone to start doing research with anything that's been posted from the QAnon post and otherwise, but we have a lot to learn about what we don't know. And the 10 assumptions that I concern myself in science and the universe, I hope everyone can start learning about. And I hope that's a topic next time we can talk about is the 10 assumptions of science, I believe, are all going to be reverted this year. And we're all going to need healing. They are going to be, you know, tough for a lot of people that aren't as awake as you, Ted. And, you know, especially maybe we would say the baby boomers and older. It's going to be tough for a lot of people to realize they've been hoodwinked their entire life. Mm-hmm. And so have their parents. I'd like to leave it at that, if you don't mind.
I had Susan Miller, a wonderful astrologist from New York City, about on my show about back in 14, about 5 years ago now. And she said that this was a time of truth. I'll never forget her interview because she said starting in 13 and 14, astrologically speaking, that the planets were aligning throughout the solar system to force us to become a time of truth where things that are true will become revealed and those that aren't true also would become revealed. And as time's going on, I think we're seeing more and more of that with people, with governments, with all kinds of things. And So that's good news, and we have to have disclosure, and I think the truth will become even more important, especially as we go into the higher dimensions.
Yeah, you're seeing it happen now too. We've got the assistant defense minister of the United States coming on air talking about UFOs now, and
right.
You know, we're getting it done. We're
absolutely. Absolutely. Q, I'm so sorry we've run out of time, my friend, but thank you so much for coming on today. And my friends, please stay tuned to our next hour. And thank you again, Q, so much for coming on today.
Uchuu no kanata ni